بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد After the praise to Allah Almighty and Glory and peace be upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم I testify that there is no God except Allah and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said on his deathbed, a hadith that he hid within himself and he did not let it out until he knew that he was getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said when he was on his deathbed, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Man qala la ilaha illallah mukhlisan dakhala al-jannah. That whoever says la ilaha illallah with sincerity would enter the paradise. So they asked him, why didn't you say it during your life? He said, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me not to say it, because people will sit down and not do anything, thinking if they just say, La ilaha illallah, it's enough for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will constantly say in the Quran al-Kareem, Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihad, those who believe and do the righteous deeds. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we are just around the corner from this blessed month, the month of Ramadan, the month that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to look forward to. They describe each other that when the month of Ramadan used to come, the companions used to be so happy, never happy ever before. And when the Ramadan or the month of Ramadan used to end, the companions described themselves, they used to be upset and sad. It's like someone had passed away. This is the month of Ramadan, only a few days away from now. A month full of blessings, a month full of mercy, a month full of rewards, a month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the gates of the paradise and closes the gates of the hellfire. A month that Allah Azza wa Jal gives His servants the opportunity for them to get closer to Him. And how beautiful is that? If people just know and realize and acknowledge and understand the greatness of this month. This month, it's only a few days away from now. Ikhwani, let's all prepare for this month. And let's prepare for this month from now, not from one day before on the day of Ramadan. As I said in my last lesson, that's one of the tricks of the shaitan. He motivates you for the month of Ramadan and puts in your mind that once the month of Ramadan starts, be strong and firm and put all your effort into that first day, the first day of the month of Ramadan. So when the month of Ramadan comes, you're not ready to put that full effort, so you collapse from the beginning of the month. No, prepare from now. And I'm telling you from now, if you did not prepare from today, you are too late. Prepare for the month of Ramadan from now. Warm up. Get yourself ready for that beautiful month. And have the intention that whatever you gain in that month from Iman, whatever you gain in that month from the taqwa and the yaqeen, whatever you gain in that month from the rewards have the intention that you're going to keep it after the month of Ramadan. It's not about just the month of Ramadan, it's about what's after the month of Ramadan. It's not just about worshipping Allah in that month and fearing Allah in that month, and then you turn out to be worse than what you used to be after that month than you what used to be before that month. Get yourself ready for that month. Take advantage of that month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the opportunity to save yourself from the hellfire in that month. Take advantage of it. Yes, we have a lot of enemies in this world. And one of the greatest enemies in this world is our desires and the shaitan. One of the greatest enemies in this world to mankind is the shaitan and the desires. And the desires are worse than the shaitan, because the desires are within. The shaitan is outside, tries to influence you. But your desires are inside you. They force you to do things that sometimes yourself don't even accept. So the month of Ramadan comes where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts one of your enemies on the side. The shayateen get locked up. And because of you fasting, you step on your desires. So you could say you got rid of half of your desires. So you only got a half of an enemy to deal with in that month. So Allah Azza wa Jal prepares you in that month. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares a lot of things for you in that month to prepare yourself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal gives you that strength to strengthen your iman. Wallahi, by Allah, if we really know the greatness and the virtues of that month, we'll wish the whole year was Ramadan. If we knew what's behind the month of Ramadan and the great rewards from behind of Ramadan, wallahi, wish all our lives were Ramadan. For my brothers and sisters, Ramadan is just around the corner. And if you have not prepared for it from now, you are late. So don't be too late when the day of Ramadan starts. Get yourself ready from now. Get yourself warmed up from now. Like someone on the play, they go into the field, they warm up. Or else if they go in without warming up, they collapse. Same thing. You need to warm up yourself. You need to prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. If you're not praying on time, stop praying on time from now. If you are planning to read the Quran every single day in Ramadan, then get yourself used to reading the Quran from now. If you do not attend the congregational prayers, the Jama'ah prayers at the mosque, get yourself used to it from now. So you do not miss out on it in the day of Ramadan and the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. All those who believe, Allah had ordained and written on you fasting, the way had written on the nations before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So you could increase your faith. So you could increase your taqwa. And taqwa, faith, is an important principle in our life, in a Muslim's life. If we have taqwa and we have strong faith, then we are strong in our religion. And we are strong to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never disobey Allah Almighty. The month of Ramadan, fasting is one of the things that trains you to increase your taqwa, to increase your yaqeen. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, At-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna. That fearing Allah is here in the heart, and he points to his heart three times. At-taqwa ha-huna, fearing Allah is here, fearing Allah is here, fearing Allah is here. So taqwa is within, is something inside between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what differentiates between a mu'min and a hypocrite is the taqwa. A mu'min has got taqwa within inside him, in his heart. But the hypocrite doesn't have taqwa. That's why he's going to the lowest of the hellfire and he's going to the highest of the paradise. Taqwa. Fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fearing Allah azza wa jal. Fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do what Allah tells you to do. And never ever do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you not to do. I was explaining something last week. And what one of the beautiful definition of taqwa, of what the scholars say, is to put a barrier between you and what Allah had forbade. أن تجعل بينك وبين ما حرم الله أو محارم الله حاجزة. Is to put a barrier between you and the haram. I'll put a barrier between you, me and the haram. Why? It's because I fear Allah. So that barrier between me and the haram is the taqwa. That barrier between me and the haram is the taqwa. And unfortunately not many people have that barrier between them and the haram. Whether that haram is minor or major. So taqwa is to put a barrier between you and what Allah had forbade. Another beautiful definition is wherever Allah wants you to be, you are there. And wherever Allah Azza wa Jal does not want you to be, you're never ever there. أن يجدك الله حيث أمرك وأن يفقدك حيث نهاك. This is what taqwa is. It's for Allah to see you where He wants you to be. And for Allah Azza wa Jal never ever to see you where He doesn't want you to be. So the places that Allah wants, loves, I am there. The good deeds that Allah Azza wa Jal loves, I'm the first one to do them. The good actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see from thee, I'm the first one to implement them. And the haram, the bad places and the haram places, I'll never even think to go near it. The good, the bad deeds, I never think to do them. The bad actions, I never think to go near them. That's what taqwa is. That's what taqwa is. Is to put a barrier between you and the haram. To put barrier between you and what Allah hates. To put a barrier between you and what Allah dislikes. That's the true taqwa. It's not enough just to worship Allah. It's not enough just to do the righteous deeds. And at the same time, you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, you do the wrong deeds. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told one of the companions, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمَ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Keep away from the haram, you'll be the best worshipper to Allah. Keep away from the haram, you'll be the best worshipper to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our religion is not just about us doing the good and at the same time doing the bad. But our religion is about doing the good and keeping away from the bad. And keeping away from the bad sometimes is more. It's more beloved to Allah than doing the good. To keep away from the bad. To keep away from the haram. Because when you fall into the haram, you are dragged into it. And the way shaitan works, shaitan starts you with a small haram. And then he ends you in a major haram. And he starts you off with a small haram by starting you off with something that looks good in your eyes. And then he drags you into it. And drags you into and throws you into the deepest end of the haram. So do not fall into the deception of the shaitan. Don't fall into the deception of your enemy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken care of your enemy during the month of Ramadan. Now it's your turn to take care of yourself in that month. It's your turn and it's your job to take care of yourself and the desires that's left between you. Be strong and firm. Be strong and firm. And take the opportunity to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take the opportunity to return to Allah Almighty. In the month of Ramadan, it's a month of tawbah, the month of repentance. And repentance, it means that you keep away from the haram forever. One of the main conditions of repentance is to keep away from the haram, and they promise Allah they never go back to it. So if someone calls himself that he repented to Allah and then he goes back to the haram, he did not repent from the first place. Because one of the main things of repentance, they'd never ever ever go back to the sin that you repented from. So take advantage of that month. And from now, as I said, from now get yourself ready. If you are committing any haram, which you shouldn't ever commit a haram. And how could you ever commit a haram knowing that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching you. If you are committing a haram, and there's only a few days left for the month of Ramadan, then make sure from now, from this second, you keep away from the haram. Not on the day of Ramadan. When the month of Ramadan comes, I'll keep away from the haram. Now from now, if you truly want to repent to Allah, then you keep away from the haram from now. By tonight, you repent to Allah Almighty and say, Ya Allah, I repent to you from every sin, minor or major, that I had committed from this day. You keep away from the haram. No matter how major or minor this haram, keep away from it. Get yourself ready. And how could you commit haram? How could you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How could you do something that Allah told you not to do when Allah is watching you? Allah created you and sustained you and looked after you. At the end, you turn away from Him and go and disobey Him. And then you claim that you love Him. أَتَعْصِ الْإِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تَزْمُ حُبَّهُ. You disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, claiming that you love Him. ذَلِكَ مُحَالٌ فِي الْقِيَاسِ بَدِيعٌ. It's amazing. Does not make sense to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you claim that you love Him. لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ أَحَبَّ مُطِيعُ. If your love was truly to your Lord, that you truly love Allah, then you have obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have obeyed Allah azza wa jal. You never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever you attempt to do a sin, remember Allah is watching you. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, and that's taqwa. And that's why, as I said, one of the main things of Ramadan is to increase your taqwa and yaqeen. Whenever you intend to do haram, remember Allah is watching you. Because you never do that sin in front of your parents. You would never ever do that sin in front of your friends. You would not even do that sin in front of a sheikh. Then how could you do in front of the Lord of this universe? How could you do in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How could you do it knowing that Allah is watching you? How could you do it knowing that Allah had recorded it on you? How could you do it knowing that Allah is going to judge you over it? How could you do it knowing that Allah is going to punish you for it? How could you do it? A man comes and asks one of the scholars, one of the great scholars in Islam, that I commit a lot of sins. Advise me. So this scholar advised him. He told him, when you attempt to commit a sin, don't eat from the food of Allah. And don't drink from the water of Allah. So that man said, how can I not eat from the food of Allah, drink from the water of Allah, when all the food and the water belongs to Allah? So the man told him, how could you commit a sin and disobey Allah and eat from His food and drink from His water? How could that be possible? You eat His food and you drink His water and then you disobey Him in return? Allahu Akbar. How selfish is mankind. And then he told him, when you want to disobey Allah, do not live on the land of Allah. He said, Subhanallah. Do not live on the land of Allah. And everywhere and everything belongs to Allah. He said, then how could you disobey Allah and commit a sin when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you and then live on His land? You live on Allah's land and then you disobey Him in return? Then he told him, when you want to disobey Allah, go and commit a sin in a place where Allah can't see you. He said, how could that be possible when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could see everything? Allah azza wa jal, has it been narrated by the hadith, will see the ant and hear the movement of the ant under the dark rock, the great rock in the dark night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will he and the sea, he, the movement of the ant, and he see the ant under the great rock in the middle of the night. He said, how could that be possible? Wherever I go, Allah will see me. So he told him, how could you disobey Allah and at the same time, how could you disobey Allah when you know Allah is watching you? And then he told him, lastly, when you want to disobey Allah, and then the angel of death comes to take your soul, and you know you're ending up in the hellfire, tell the angel of death not to come and take your soul. He said, subhanallah, this will never ever happen. Then he told him, brother, how could you disobey Allah? And I say that to everyone. How could you disobey Allah and eat from the food of Allah? How could you disobey Allah and drink from the water of Allah? How could you disobey Allah and live on the land of Allah? How could you disobey Allah and breathe the air that Allah had given you? How could you disobey Allah and live in a world that Allah had created? How could you disobey Allah when you know Allah is watching you? Fi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the taqwa. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will constantly advise the companions to fear Allah. That it became one of the main conditions of a Friday sermon that the khatib must encourage the believers to fear Allah. And Allah azza wa jalla says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. Oh, those who believe, fear Allah azza wa jalla. Haqqa tuqatihi. The way he should be feared. The way he should be feared, not I fear Allah, and then I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not how Allah azza wa jalla should be feared. Allah azza wa jalla should be feared by fearing Allah and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullah, wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad. Wattaqullah. All those who believe, fear Allah. And let every soul see what it's going to offer tomorrow. And fear Allah. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many places in the Quran al-Kareem where Allah addresses the believers. Not the non-believers. Not the disobedient. The believers. Those ones who claim to have iman, Allah addresses them and says, fear Allah. So it's not just about me being a believer. It's about me fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fearing Allah, it's never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fearing Allah is to never disobey Allah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he met the second generation after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told them, by Allah, you commit the sin. You see, it's so small in your eyes, thinner than a hair. We used to consider it at the time of the Prophet as one of the major sins. You do a sin and you commit a sin. You see it so small, you think it's nothing. But Allah, we used to look at it at the time of the Prophet as one of the major sins. This is to who? To the next generation, which is one of the best generations. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ قُرُونِ قَرْنِ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of generations are the ones after me, then the ones after them, then the ones after them. Then what would he say about a generation now? So taqwa, my brothers and sisters, is not just about saying, I am a believer, or I fear Allah. It's about acting upon it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges you according to your actions. So fear Allah azza wa jalla with your actions. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what you do. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where you go. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of what you think of. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what you say. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what you touch. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what you hear. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah azza wa jalla for everything. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. All those who believe, fear Allah azza wa jalla. For the month of Ramadan is coming. Let's all prepare for that month from now. From now, let's prepare for that month. And let's all fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah azza wa jalla. And one of the greatest things to strengthen your fear is to think and judge yourself. Contemplate. Think. Before you go to sleep, think. Think about what you did today. And judge yourself over doing it. Don't let one simple, small, minor action to go past your life or your day without you judging yourself over it. Judge yourself. You committed a minor sin today or major sin. Don't sleep comfortably. And how could you sleep comfortably when the Lord of the universe is upset or angry from you? Judge yourself before you go to sleep. Judge yourself. Account yourself. As Umar says, judge yourself before you get judged. Wait your days before it's waiting for you. Judge yourself before you go to sleep. Think about it. Don't let a day go past without judging yourself. To strengthen yourself for the next day. To better yourself the next morning. To be a better person the next day. And the month of Ramadan, once again, is a great opportunity for that. So my brothers and sisters, let's prepare for the month of Ramadan from now. Let's get ourselves ready for the month of Ramadan from now. Let's encourage others for that too. Spread this message to others. Now everyone now is getting aware and alert that the month of Ramadan, it's nearby. Some people, subhanAllah, think the right way, where they say, I have to repent to Allah from now and prepare myself. Others say, the month of Ramadan is coming nearby, so let me do as much as haram I could before the month of Ramadan. Wal-iyadhu billah. MashaAllah, with very good intention. And alhamdulillah, let me do as much as haram before the month of Ramadan, or else Allah is going to judge me in the month of Ramadan. Allah does not judge you before the month of Ramadan. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't see you before the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to account you before the month of Ramadan. Wal-iyadhu billah. So my brothers and sisters, let's prepare for this month from now and get others to be prepared. And get ourselves into the habit of coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to this good, noble environment from now. So you could be constant after the month of Ramadan. So get yourself used to it from now. So after Ramadan or after the month of Ramadan, you are used to it. A lot of people have that intention that that's it. Ramadan comes, I'm going to be firm to the day I die. So Ramadan comes, they get firm after the Ramadan or the month of Ramadan, they collapse. If you want to be firm after the month of Ramadan, then get yourself used to it before the month of Ramadan. And now it's your opportunity. So I encourage my brothers and sisters to get themselves ready, prepared for the month of Ramadan from now, from today, from this moment, from tonight, to get ourselves used to it in the month of Ramadan. And inshallah, after the month of Ramadan, it's not about getting there, it's about staying there. It's not about getting there, it's about staying there. And Allah Azza wa Jal judges us over the last deeds of our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges us over the last deeds. Not, wallahi, in the mirror, what you end your deeds with is what Allah Azza wa Jal is going to account you for. What you end your life with is what you're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. So it's not about just getting there in the month of Ramadan, then collapse after the month of Ramadan. Iblis was one day with the angels. Now he's in the hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jal gave him the opportunity to live before the hellfire, just to deceive people. So Iblis was one day in the heavens with the angels, and now he's from the creatures of the hellfire. He's now from the creatures of the hellfire and from the mal'unin. So it's not about getting there, it's about staying there. And that's why when a companion asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an advice, or Prophet of Allah, advice that I do not ask or seek from anyone after you. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. So I believe in Allah, and be firm, be steadfast. Be firm and steadfast to the day you die. Be firm and steadfast to the day you die. And inshallah, next Monday inshallah, we'll speak about more about steadfastness and more about keeping firm and strong. For inshallah, invite your brothers, invite your sisters, invite your brothers, invite your sisters, inshallah, to come to next Monday's lesson. inshallah ikhwanin, nas'al Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yuwaffiqna li kulli khair. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin was salatu was salam ala sayyidina wa habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ihdina wa hdibina waj'alna sababan liman ihtada. Ihdi ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aslih ummata Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ighfir lil muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya' minhum wal amwat. Innaka ya rabbana qareebun mujibun lid da'awat. Unsur al islam wal muslimin, dammir kafarata wal mulhidin. اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير، ومن أراد بهم غير ذلك فخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وقنا عذاب النار، وقنا عذاب النار، وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى، نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك، نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. وجزاكم الله خير for listening.